Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who attend this service through GCN all over the world. It was a period of, you know, days of blessing that Father God allowed. But, you know, last year, we got a moment of blessing to discover ourselves instead of putting blame on others. And we received goodness and love and strength to accomplish Father God's kingdom and righteousness. Well, it cannot be done by someone's might. In the providence of Father God, all these processes turn into a blessing for us. And that in the process is ongoing as fire. We have done our best for the last 2 years. The Lord said, you know, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And He also said, you eat or drink or whatever you do, you know, do all to the glory of God. And we had that. So, we loved God, we loved the church, and we worked so fervently with the heart of looking for Father God's glory, not for our own benefit. However, as we look back on ourselves, in corner of our hearts, we were a little bit embarrassed and we felt sorry. We couldn't deny that, right? We felt some kind of void, which resulted from spiritual thirst. Why? Well, because we tasted the gospel of holiness and the gospel of New Jerusalem. There are two kinds of thirst, spiritual thirst and fleshly thirst. I'm talking about thirst that belongs to spirit. Because of our, you know, fervor of, you know, accomplishing Father God's kingdom and righteousness, you know, we feel thirsty. Our Lord said, you know, I'm thirsty. And that's what we felt. That's spiritual thirsty. What about in the fleshly thirst? Without doing our might, we feel, you know, thirsty. Because, you know, our desires are not, you know, met or fulfilled. So we want to argue. We want to, you know, fight back, you know, when something wrong happens to us. That's spiritual thirst. And I hope that, you know, you will not have this, you know, fleshly thirst. We tasted the gospel of holiness, the gospel of New Jerusalem. We learned our forefathers of faith who did best during their times of persecution and affliction. And compared to them, you know, we fell a little bit short. So, we could be very humble before this gospel, as long as we have hope for sanctification in New Jerusalem. We know the providence of human cultivation, and we want to be the best fruit of the gospel. We know that we haven't accomplished yet the best, highest level of goodness and love. But we have hope for a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. That's why we have this, you know, happy, you know, dilemma, which caused by the core of this gospel of holiness. We went through spiritual battle, and we experienced many things for the last 2 years. We were wrongfully accused. We were subject to lies and criticism. There were many things that we never experienced before. And many of our shortages were revealed. However, those times were the times of making a very pricey pearls and to acquire wisdom and strength. Well, I think it was a training or motivation to become, you know, a man who will arise and shine light. We gotta have this kind of heart. That's why we were given the first prayer title, Arise and Shine. So we had that time. You know, as I listen to senior pastor's messages on Wednesday service, I feel like this. Well, senior pastor, you know, delivers the message on Wednesday, right? And that message is, you know, sweeter than honeycomb. And as I listen to him, I feel like this. What we've done well became rewards in heaven, so we don't need to worry. As we have to work for the providence of end time and to enter New Jerusalem, we gotta fill up what we are short of. Now, I think, you know, I feel like the senior pastor is telling us like that. Senior pastor always said that, you know, I mean, as we listen to senior pastor, we, you know, found what we are short of. However, senior pastor do not criticize them. You know, senior pastor rather encourage us to, you know, feel what we are short of. You know, and that's what we got to do to go to New Jerusalem. So we got to listen to advice of others or their reproach. And we learn from our senior pastor. We got to make them as the chance to recover our, to discover ourselves. So all we got to do is and pray. I feel like the senior pastor is giving this kind of message of love. So what we found is not some, you know, pressure. It rather becomes, you know, hope. We found our shortages in a spiritual battle for sure. However, since, you know, senior pastor understands our fervor and heart when we, as we work for Father God's kingdom and for souls, so he encourages us to become more complete. So whenever I feel that, I am full of thanks and thrill and expectation. So think about the love, spiritual love chapter, and the wisdom from above, and the voice and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, as I listened to that, you know, I was about to disappoint it, but soon I can receive the spiritual strength, love, and hope. And it's mysterious. You know, David confessed in Psalm 139, verse 14, I'll give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. He said this, thinking of God who took care of him. The providence of human cultivation is so amazing. God created me. God made me a member of Manmin. So I am enjoying the highest privilege of human cultivation. The message for New Jerusalem is the gospel that only Manmin can enjoy. I've never heard this kind of message from anywhere else. Senior pastor's messages contain the heart of Father God and of the Lord, and also tells us how to finish this human cultivation and become the best fruit of Father God. His message teaches all of them. So we can well understand them. Where can we find this kind of message about gospel of holiness in New Jerusalem? So this place is the place where the flow of grace is overflowing. However, this space is open to everyone. This place can become owned by those who feel the spiritual realm. It is open to everybody. However, this space cannot be owned by anybody, okay? Is it easy to go to heaven or not? Is it easy? It's so easy, isn't it? Amen? It's easy to go to heaven. It's so easy. Or is it too difficult? Amen? Amen. I think the pastor is strange. Well, he said it's easy, but now it's difficult? It's hard? Well, it's easy. Why? Because those who are poor in spirit, you know, heaven belongs to them. Those who have poor spirit, can find it easy to go to heaven. However, it is so difficult for those who are rich in spirit. Why? Because they are not poor. So it's like a camel passing a ear of needle. It's impossible, isn't it? And it is even worse for a rich man to pass that needle. So those who are rich in spirit, you know, it's not easy for them to come before God. So it's easy to go to heaven for some people, but for others, it's so hard. So those who found it easy can go to heaven. Those who found it hard cannot go to heaven, right? As we have in a wide vision, we could have, you know, smile of hope on our face. Why? Because we learn the spiritual realm. Father God helped us so that we will not stumble. He helped us not to close our spiritual eyes. Instead, He gave us a chance to grow up spiritually. So we give thanks for that. I myself am here by the grace of God. What kind of grace? The grace of Father God that they help me not close the spiritual eyes. Closing the spiritual eyes means not understanding the spiritual realm. And it's not easy to win victory. However, Father God, you know, during the service, during prayer, during praising, during praises, He gave us fullness to accomplish spiritual fullness. He made it possible. So, I can look for tomorrow, which becomes my strength to go on. It became my vision for future. Even though I'm slow, I'm surely going to New Jerusalem. So, we are here. Therefore, we cannot deny the guidance of Father God. Today is a good day, and we give thanks for that, and we give beautiful aroma of worship. I hope you can do so. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to tell you a message under the title of Spiritual Restoration. You know, as I was inspired in my prayer, I was reminded of this word in the restoration. And I could feel the flow of spirit in this church a lot better. That the flow of this church, you know, makes me understand this restoration. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Based on the words of truth the senior pastor delivered, we are in the mood of becoming refreshed. We are one to fully understand Jesus Christ, and we reorganize the word of life that we've heard from the start of this church. So, we can reach to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I feel like Father God is overflowing grace whenever we go to worship service. Especially Pastor Soojin Lee, when she delivered the message, she was delivering a message in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because when she would deliver the message, she did it in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So whenever I heard her, you know, I feel, you know, lots of grace. So as I delivered this message, the spiritual restoration, from last April, I wrote in the weekly bulletin book, you know, participate in spiritual restoration. I thought I'd talk about the restoration of service, prayer, praise, and faithfulness. Someone said, you know, as she passed by this in a moment of blessing, the spiritual restoration campaign the movement became a great strength. But not everybody feel the same. Some people follow their old habit. And naturally, I had to pray for them. I wish every one of them could participate in this movement, spiritual restoration. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. The justice of God is flowing among us until the cultivation is over. Therefore, there will be the end of cultivation, right? But, you know, every individual have, you know, different end of, you know, different end time of cultivation, right? But those who love God will receive God's love. And that's the justice of God. And that justice is flowing in the church. So whoever belongs to God should accept everything with thanks. Then we can receive in the grace of God. Or you can receive grace to recover whatever you lost. So, if there is anything you are short of, check it out and make it complete. Then you will be able to bear even greater fruit. Because this grace will become your strength. Job received a tremendous blessing after refinement. Before the refinement, Job got no shortages in his life. He was so happy. Someday, he was accused by Satan, and he went into refinement and blessing. And his you know, original evil got revealed. He put blame on God, and he even cursed his birthday. However, God took side of Job till the end. And God told him about what Job was short of. An amazing change happened to him. He understood the Father God of his heart. He understood what he was short of. And he was restored. And he even received even greater blessing. Job 42:15 says, in all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. You know, could you find anyone who cursed, you know, his or her own birthday? Well, Job did. But God helped Job so that he could understand Father God's heart. And after he realized it, he repented and he received a double blessing. As you think about Job's refinement, then you can find hope for yourself. We are living in the era of the Holy Spirit. Especially, we heard spiritual, you know, message, the word of life from senior pastor. So, we are receiving great help from his message. So once you restore what you lost, then it's easier for you to, you know, receive God's, you know, even greater grace and blessing than Job did. Now, can you feel this love of God? This love helps us understand our own heart and how to Father God of the Lord and of the Shepherd. And it gives us time and chance to restore and recover. I, you know, refer to the dictionary to find the definition of restore or restoration. It is to recover the original state. And there is a some in a thesaurus that was in a resilience. So I wanted to explain about this in the resilience because I thought it would help you to understand the spiritual restoration. Resilience is the strength of heart to jump over based on your failure. You hit the bottom rock, but you stand up and jump back up. And resilience is the strength to help you do so. And this word is used in many eras, such as, you know, in a, some psychology area. Every object has its, you know, and the resilience. As we apply this resilience to men, when they have strong resilience, even after the trials, they can jump back. Some people can even jump up to a higher place than the previous state. As an individual or an organization making a continuous progress, and we can see some individual or organization got great achievement. And what they have common is that they got spiritual. I mean, they got resilience to overcome their failure and jump back up. Everyone has different spiritual resilience, and Father God knows that already. So according to our own vessel, He refines us to make us complete. Think about the forefathers of faith. Think about organization. Depending on what kind of meanings you apply to the refinements or the trials that they undergo, they can grow up or they can fall back. Depending on how they interpret the trials or refinement they are going through, their result will be different. That's what I'm saying. If they put in a negative meanings, the situation will become worse. However, when people take it as positive refinement or trials, then they can solve the problems of too much energy in their feelings or ill feelings. They can reuse, they can use their strength to overcome the trials well, which result in the growth. So when we undergo trials or refinement, if we interpret that negatively, then we will have ill feelings on that. However, if we have positive meanings, if we apply to our refinements, then we can get the energy to overcome those trials. So we can jump back to a higher state. The result? We can find a better place in a better state. Positive energy turns into better resilience. So in other words, resilience is a strength of heart to help you jump back from the bottom of your life. Let me tell you more about this. Because I think you can understand the spiritual meaning of this resilience. There are three indexes in resilience. Self-control, that controls their own feelings. And social ability. And third, positive thinking. As you listen to this, even though the terms are quite difficult to understand, but if you look inside, it is very similar to the gospel of holiness. If you understand the words of sanctification and the spiritual law, then you can have very strong resilience. When people have very strong spiritual spiritual ability, they can have very strong resilience. So depending on what kind of meanings you apply to what you experience, the result can be very different. Senior pastor once said this: a man who committed a very fleshly sin cannot go to New Jerusalem, but this man can go to New Jerusalem. However, both statements are correct, so you got to understand it correctly. When people commit sin leading to death, they cannot go to heaven. They cannot go to New Jerusalem. However, once they repent and bear proper fruit to their repentance, then Father God will be pleased with them, and then they will be qualified to go to New Jerusalem. Now, let's say there is someone who committed sin leading to death. So he cannot go to New Jerusalem. He may recover the quality, recover the condition to go to New Jerusalem or not. And spiritual resilience may affect him. Depending on what kind of meanings he applied to what senior pastor said, his behavior and attitude will be different. And depending on his behavior and attitude, his future will be different. If he has, you know, good resilience, he will think of the words of truth. Since he knows the spiritual realm and the Father God's deep love, and he will be humble, and he will quickly recover God's, you know, quickly receive God's mercy, and recover God's grace back. So, he may be qualified to go to New Jerusalem again. So, there is possibility for us to go to New Jerusalem. Think about 2 years in the past. What did you do? We survived, for sure. Senior pastor gave us, you know, New Year Day message. There are many things that we have to remember. There are many things we got to do. And senior pastor said, thank you for overcoming all those things. That we can become overwhelming conquerors. Senior pastor also said, there are many things that we got to do in this end time. In this flow of spirit, senior pastor will be pleased with us as we do what we're doing right now. Because we have pretty good reasons to go to New Jerusalem. When senior pastor comes back, he will fully recover, I mean fully acquire the 100% of the power of recreation. We have spiritual grace. And the New Jerusalem is already in our heart. So, as we hold on to the Word of God, and since we have the spiritual resilience, when senior pastor, you know, returns to his ministry, we can participate in his ministry together. So, even though you are shortened now, don't give up. Don't be disappointed. Don't lose heart. Right now, as we go on, we may find many shortages. But we make up our mind to fill it up. We will go on. Please help me. If you have that kind of mind, then you will surely change. And as you give thanks at the same time, then you can do anything. But there are people who don't understand the love of Father God. They misunderstand and they get disappointed. Then they are far from New Jerusalem. If they judge and condemn, or they stumble because of their own self-evil, and they lose this spiritual resilience, then they cannot even get the shameful salvation. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, thereby, share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. So we should never take a part of other sin. Someone committed sin, then we can pray for them. However, we should not participate in their sin. We should never do so. We should never, Father God, displeased. Moreover, someone is doing right in the sight of Father God. But if we criticize that man, then we are committing sin. So, do not judge others. Just check ourselves and see if there is anything wrong and try to become proper in the sight of Father God. That's all we got to do. There is resilience in the gospel of holiness. It is a strength to make us complete. Father God wants us to make our mind again in His messages. And Father God gives us a grace of resilience to those who seek for grace in the space of the shepherd as we march on by faith. I believe Father God will make everything work for the good. And I felt during the Christmas Eve, on Christmas, and New Year Day service, I felt Father God's love And I felt Father God expanded the space of the shepherd. And I believed it. I felt it. I hope in this flow, you can fully enjoy the grace of spiritual restoration. Brothers and sisters, what we look into for the spiritual restoration is worship, prayer, praise, and faithfulness. As of the first session, let me tell you about worship tonight. Worship, to worship, is to revere God in a ceremony. In other words, we give our respect, praise, and glory to Father God. We give thanks to God, and we praise Him. Not only in Old Testament times, but also in today, Father God is pleased with the service that we give according to His word, and He blesses us as we worship Him in spirit and truth. Father God seeks for people who worship Him. But the Bible tells us He does not accept all kinds of worship service. There are worships that Father God can take with pleasure, but there are worships that Father God never takes. In the chapter 4 of Genesis, He accepted the service of Abel, but He didn't accept Cain's service. Father God searches the hearts of people. He regarded service of Abel, who worshiped God by faith and with obedience and deeds, better than Cain's service. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 to 14, you can find that Saul was forsaken as he gave service on behalf of a priest. Well, there was a battle against Philistines, but Samuel didn't come, who was supposed to give, sacrifice to God. So Saul did it. He made an excuse. However, Samuel said it was a mockery to God. He prophesied that his reign will not be long. Since he didn't keep the order of God, Father God would choose someone else as the leader of His people. That's what Samuel the prophet said. And Saul disobeyed the word of God and destructed the order of God. His throne was removed. He was dethroned, and David became the king. Isaiah chapter 1 and Malachi chapter 1, you can find that when Israelites gave a service to God without their heart, Father God said that He would not take it. Isaiah 1:12 says, "This is trampling of my court." Malachi 1:12 says, "The table of the Lord is defiled." They got formality. However, it was not spiritual service. It was rather fleshly service, which Father God does not take. If you think of the days of Jesus, Pharisees and scribes followed the tradition of elders. However, it was not true service for God. So, Jesus reproached them greatly. And the Lord called them hypocrites. Matthew 15, verses 7 to 9, the Lord said, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Precepts of men. We should not serve God according to our benefit. The principle is to worship God according to what God gives, according to the order that Father God gave. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Ask what you wish me to give you." And verse 12 says, "Behold, I've done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart." Now, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13 says, "I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, And Solomon gave, you know, service to God, and Father got pleased with it, and then he gave even, you know, what Solomon didn't ask for, riches and honor. So Jesus explained how those who believe in Father God give service to God, as John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Let me read it for you. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit is to worship God in the inspiration and fullness of the Holy Spirit. As we make bread from the word of Father God and worship God with the Holy Spirit in our heart. To worship in truth means to worship God with true understanding of Father God and worship God with all our heart, mind, strength, and thought with true joy, thanks, and prayer. Therefore, as we worship God with offerings, with a heart of thanks. Thanks for salvation. Thanks for hope. Thanks for hope for New Jerusalem. We worship God with that kind of hope. And we have hope for senior pastors in the reunion with senior pastor. So, and at the same time, we have to worship God in spirit and truth also in our everyday life. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Since the Holy Spirit is residing in our heart as His temple, we have to keep ourselves holy by the truth. That's what it says. So we gotta rejoice all the time, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all situations. That is the life of giving worship service in our lives. So, let me tell you how to worship in spirit and truth when we worship God, based on senior pastor's messages. I'm going to tell you about four things. First, you should check if you are late or come in a hurry for worship services. To give worship service is to acknowledge God's spiritual sovereignty. We should worship God according to the statutes that Father God gave to us. As we worship God as we do so, then our heart will become an aroma to Father God. We should do it from the silent prayer to the benediction. If we come to service 10 minutes before, then we can make this service all the more full of the Spirit. We should not neglect the beginning or the end. We don't worship God from the end, from the beginning till the end complete. It cannot become the perfect service. We made a promise to worship God at a certain time. Therefore, if we are late or if we leave before the service is over, then we are behaving rude before Father God. So we gotta check ourselves all the time. But at the same time, we have to understand that there are exceptions, okay? There are people who help services, ushers, trayers, and those who work in the broadcasting room, or secretary office, or voluntary office. Those who, you know, help the guests, because they have to make sure that the next service will go on properly. They work for Father God's kingdom and for Father God's service, and they volunteer. So some people have to leave the sanctuary before the service is over. So do not judge those people who leave the place. Don't judge them saying that, you know, they are rude, okay? Don't ever do so. It is the judgment and condemnation which becomes the wall of sin before Father God. So, What we got to do is do what we should do, okay? Second, you should check if you are concentrating on sermons. During the service, we got to focus on the Word. If there is anything that can bother us during the sermon, then we got to put it away. There is a preacher in the service. That preacher delivers the message on behalf of God. They are usually pastors. They have a job of guiding souls to heaven. So, congregation should focus on the preacher's message. Some people worship God with an attitude as if, you know, they were receiving, you know, personal visit. So I'm thankful for that. Most of all, when you listen to message, you should never use your fleshly thought. If you use your fleshly thought, no matter how beautiful the Word of God is, how precious a message that saves souls, you cannot receive grace from the message. You would rather make a wall of sin before Father God. You have to break the wall of sin in the service. But if you make the wall of sin even greater, then what's going to be worse, right? It will be worse. You come to service to revere God, to glorify God, to receive God's grace and strength. That's why you come to service. But you are making a wall of sin by using fleshly thought, then, well, you are not receiving God's grace. You are actually staying far away from Father God. So don't ever do that. Senior pastor once told us, you know, many times actually, how to discern the spiritual realm. And since it is very necessary, not only during the service, but also in our Christian life, so let me briefly review that. He said, even though you are in the spiritual, the environment of light, it's up to you whether you choose light or darkness. He mentioned about the going to the way of destruction. Even though we are in the environment of light, you can choose whether you can go to the way of light or way of darkness. So the most important thing is whether you like the light or whether you like the darkness. Even though you are surrounded by the light, if you have the elements of darkness in your heart or thoughts, then you can make a contact with the spirit of darkness and you can receive the work of Satan. For example, the sanctuary is the place of God, and this sanctuary is protected by the firewall of the Holy Spirit and the heavenly host and angels. This is what Senior Pastor said. However, even though you are inside this space, are you free from the work of Satan? Think about the Garden of Eden, which will help you understand it better. You may fall asleep. You may fall in idle thought during the service. Some people judge and condemn while listening to sermons. Some people receive the work of the devil, and they argue and do deeds of the body inside the sanctuary. No matter how strong the work of the Holy Spirit is, no matter how strong Father God is protecting the sanctuary with His light, there are people who receive or accept the work of Satan or devil. It's not because God failed to protect them, but it's because they have untruth in their heart. So they made a contact with the spirit of darkness. Even though you are not sanctified yet, and if you have some evil thought, if you cast it off right away, then there is no more contact with Satan. However, if you accept it by your own free will, it will develop into a disease of flesh or disease of body. This is what Senior Pastor said. And think about today. Depending on your choice, you may get some benefit, or it can make it worse, or it can make you that has nothing to do with Father God. The Bible says, in the Bible, God said, what they did to you is they did to me. As we worship God in spirit and truth without any idle thoughts, then we are provided with the spiritual bread. So there will be spiritual grow up. If we worship God in spirit and truth, we can understand Father God's will, and we can have the time for repentance, and we can destroy the wall of sin, if there is any. Then we can receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So we gotta worship God in spirit and truth with humbleness. This week, during the Wednesday service, Senior Pastor said, in our Christian lives, sometimes, you know, there are things that, that can bother us. First, it is caused by each individual's own and evil in their heart. And they use, you know, fleshly thoughts because of that. And second, because of the sin in the past, and the wall of sin is not completely destroyed, you know, they feel like that. And that kind of, you know, in those cases, they can have in the fullness, or they can never feel the fullness in their life. So as we feel that, in order to, you know, recover the fullness, we gotta, you know, make an effort to get rid of wall of sin and seeking for Father God's mercy, and we have to make an effort. And we gotta receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Once we receive the help of the Holy Spirit, we can recover it. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We can be free as we understand spiritual messages, even though the environment is the same. Since we understand the truth, which can make us free, we can enjoy the freedom of heart. We may have plans for our duty, but during the service, we can have wisdom from above, so we may change our plans for Father God's kingdom. It can happen. It can happen all the time. The sermons will not teach you what you gotta do, but in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, you may find, you know, some good plans to make things better. This is the grace that we can receive as we worship God in spirit and truth. And we can receive wisdom, our faith can grow stronger, and we can receive even greater hope. We can have even greater spiritual love for Father God and for the church and for souls. The Lord said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. During the message, we can have spiritual understanding, so we can be free from the burden. Even though the environment is the same, we can enjoy the peace and freedom of heart. Environment is the same. However, as we understand in the spiritual realm, with this better spiritual understanding, then our heart can be refreshed. I think it happened in the early 2000s. Someone who was younger than I was became, you know, a head of my department. People, you know, reacted differently. They thought about, you know, his young age, you know. And I thought there must be reason for that young man become the head in my department. There must be a God's grace or some kind of changes in church. But some people didn't like that. So all I could do was just pray. You know, if I pray and receive answer and have spiritual understanding, then nothing bothers me, okay? So, you know, as we pray, you know, we can think of the spiritual message. And this is what I got. As we go to heaven, you know, when I prayed for that, you know, I thought about the order and the teachings of the church, and you know, I should never be bothered by that. But you know, I wanted to acquire, you know, confidence in my heart through prayer. Then I thought about, I remembered this. As we go to heaven, we all become, you know, 33 years old. Everybody. The senior pastor said, a grandfather died at the young age, you know, father, and his son became, and died at the middle age, and his son died at the very old age, right? But, you know, we all become 33 years old in heaven. We're all same. But depending on our faith, our dwelling places can be different. And we will, you know, respect those, you know, who got, you know, greater, you know, faith. Then I thought about Cain. You know, Cain was how old? You know, he lived 6,000 years ago, right? We were told that, you know, Cain went to paradise. Well, I think I can go to first heavenly kingdom at least, back then when I heard this message. So, even though Cain is much older than I am, you know, he will respect me because I will go to a better dwelling place. So what if that young man who became the head of my department got better faith? So I thought about this too. How long will I live longer? But how long will I live in heaven? In heaven, I mean, on this earth, our, you know, life expectancy is very short, right? Compared to the life in heaven. So, if I have some, you know, uneasy feeling against that young head, you know, would it help me to go to, you know, better heavenly place? Well, it would help me better to serve him. So once I thought like this, you know, all my uneasy feelings were gone. So even though a younger people became my head, you know, I have to respect them once they go to better dwelling places in heaven. That's what I thought. So as I thought like that, you know, I couldn't neglect any people who were just in the, only because they were younger than I am. And I remember this too. I was young. I'm not sure how you call each other. But we usually call each other in the brother or sister, no matter how old they are. Back then, I was in the middle, in 20s, and there were many people who were older than I am. But we just call them in the brother or sister. And we... Well, there was a group leader, you know, who was younger than I was. Even though they was younger than I was, you know, because of the given duty to them, you know, I, you know, had to, you know, respect them. I had to serve them. So, even though there was a young man, you know, who was younger than I was and my neighbor, you know, if he became the group leader in my group, then I had to respect him. But with the spiritual understanding, I could do so. If we don't think about, you know, what we go to, you know, where we can go to in New Jerusalem or in heaven, so we can have a clear understanding of, you know, how we should deal with those people who are younger than we are or older than we are. So anyhow, I solved the problem back then. Once I understood this, all other areas could be solved too. So, should I be stubborn or should I accept everything with joy and thanks and do the work of Father God together? Well, the answer was simple, but choice was mine. Well, if we go to heaven, if the one who was younger than I was, you know, go to heaven and go to better dwelling place, then if he understands then, you know, what I have in mind, then he will rather, you know, invite me to his, you know, house in heaven. And I had that expect. Because we will have, you know, we've got, you know, so long years in heaven, right? So once we understand spiritual realm, the fleshly things are nothing. So are you bothered in your Christian life? But think about this. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you hold on to the fleshly stuff, then they all might have become heavy laden. But you can find the answer here. When you have the first love, then you're happy to come to the sanctuary. You're happy to listen to the message. But if you don't feel happy anymore, then you gotta check it. The Holy Spirit might mourn in your heart, but you neglected it in the past. If it had become the fleshly service, if you accepted the work of Satan, then the pressure on your shoulder would be heavier and heavier. If you become dull, then you got no idea what you're doing. But instead, you would, you would continue to complain. Our Lord also said this to the Pharisees and scribes who delivered the words of God. As in Matthew 23, verse 3, they'll fall. All that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. As you listen to this message with focus and receive blessing both in spirit and body. And third, you must not attend service after drinking or smoking. Well, it may apply to those who are new Christians. But it is very rude if you come to service after you drink or smoke. If you are a new Christian, then God may have mercy on you because you didn't receive strength to stop smoking or drinking. But if you got any duty in this church, then you are very rude because you promised as you were baptized. You must be given a duty since you quit them. But if you did it again, then please pray to quit them again. The worldly people regard churchgoers in holy, and they think the Christians are not smoking or drinking. However, they know you. They know which church you go. But if you keep smoking and drinking, then you are hindered the glory of Father God. The worldly people may say, your church gives title or duty to the one who smokes and drinks? They may judge the church. They misunderstand the church. When you give out the fragrance of Jesus Christ, you may receive rewards. You may receive grace. However, what if you hinder the glory of Father God? You cannot grow up spiritually. So before you come to church, if you made the contact with the world, then it may affect your service. So you gotta think about it again. Fourth, you should not disrupt worship service. The temple of God is only for service and praise and prayer to God. The church takes care of every corner of the church so that the congregation can give good service to God. People come, those who help the service come to temple early and they pray to prepare the service. They work so hard. But because of you, if the service is disrupted, how can you expect God's grace? You talk to the people beside you. You make your child run away or running around and crying. It may disturb other service, and it is rude before God. And so you cannot grow in spirit. Your faith will not grow up. What if eating during the service? Because it may disturb the focus of others around you. What if I feeding your children? If the child is very young, then it's okay. However, if you eat together with the child, what is it? If you get angry inside the temple, or if you argue with a loud voice, it's very rude before God. You chew gums, You leave the church, you leave the temple during the service. It is very rude before God. And there are other exceptions. Or putting on a cap, or putting on t-shirt, or casual book, a casual wear. It's very rude. There are some exceptions, so do not judge. If you can understand others, but apply this principle to yourself, then you may have the heart of, you know, goodness back. I mean, there are people who may have put on, you know, baseball cap, but don't judge them, okay? Your attitude comes from your heart. So you got to revere God from the heart before you come to service. However, there are people who come to service from their work right away, like in the Wednesday service. So you should never judge and condemn. Wednesday service and Friday service, there are people who come directly from their work. So even if they are late, then we can understand them, right? And do not judge those people who come late on Sunday either. There may be some unavoidable situation. In certain situations, even though it is Sunday, there are people who work, but they work hard to come to service by all means. So there are people like that, so we should never judge or condemn them. Let me conclude this message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this earth is a stage for human cultivation. This stage has many chances. The Garden of Eden was not a stage of cultivation. So, once they committed sin, they were kicked out of the garden. It was a place where evil was not tolerated. They experienced the evil and they regretted, but they couldn't stay there after the repentance. I mean, Garden of Eden, okay? However, this earth that we are living on is not like that. Even though we made something wrong, or if we did something wrong, once we repent and turn back, then we can recover everything. We got chance for restoration. And it is a blessing. In heaven, there is no chance of repentance or restoration in heaven or hell. I hope that you may be blessed to restore spiritual things as you live your life on this earth. We can be all the more refreshed. Since we know the truth, we may have even stronger resilience. Even though we hit the bottom rock, we got potential to jump back. Father God had a plan to bless Job. God allowed him undergo trials. He helped him recover himself, discover himself, and understand Father God's heart and resemble him. So, Job made a perfect restoration and received better blessing. Since we have the gospel of holiness, in these days of blessing, we can discover ourselves. The gospel of holiness and New Jerusalem helps us understand Father God's love and heart. Father God's love for Job is also for us. What we heard and learned from senior pastor will help us to follow God of peace. I told you about spiritual restoration to worship God in spirit and truth. I told you that you got to keep the time of service. You got to focus on the word. You should not drinking and smoking before you come to service. And you should not disrupt the service. I told you four things. If we are successful in service, our Christian life can be very successful. If our Christian life is successful, our life is successful. This successful life will make us become true fruit in human cultivation. Definitely we need prayer, okay? Prayer and words. Until the Lord comes back, there are many things to do in this church. We'll become spiritual warriors, and we will acquire the qualification to go to New Jerusalem. So, may you be blessed in this flow of God's grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.